So given the CRTC's decision to revoke CK Len's license, I started to I'm starting to interview different folks in different civic organizations here in Toronto to talk about what they're saying is a shrinking democratic space in Canada. And to talk to me tonight about this is Shane Moffat. He is the legal advisor at Greenpeace Canada, and he's been doing quite a bit of studies about the shrinking democratic space in Canada. So, Shane, tell me this. Tell me about this concept of a shrinking democratic space. Can you just, you know, tell us briefly what this means to civic organizations and what you've been seeing happening as a member of Greenpeace?
Sure. Well, basically, civil or the democratic space refers to the kind of the civil space within which activists, community groups, campaigning organizations are able to freely express their views on matters of vital public interest. And it's become a major concern for Greenpeace as an organization that over the past couple of years throughout Canada, there's been a shrinking in that free space within which we can discuss, advocate, and shine a light on matters of vital public interest.
So in the case of CKLN, for instance, we had the CRTC just revoke the license for the radio station. It's a community radio station.
Yep.
And they used certain statutes within the law that seemed to be excessive to shut down CKLN. Is there anything in common with what happened to CKLN with what's happening to civic organizations in Canada?
Sure. Well, it's interesting you ask me that at the moment, Robin, because I'm just writing an article that speaks to that very issue. So, okay, two issues here. On the one hand, you know, we're seeing a shrinking in the avenues by which individuals or groups can speak about matters of public interest, right? So basically, you know, it's becoming increasingly illegitimate to publicly protest, right? So that avenue by which to make your point is being shut down. And also when you see that if you challenge corporate interests, very often you're threatened with a lawsuit, right? So that ability to speak out in your community is being shut down. So I'd say that the threat to, the closure, the very unfortunate closure of the radio station is, as a community radio station, it's another example of an avenue by which people can make their opinions known being shut down. And if I could just jump in and really jump on the bandwagon of criticizing Canadian Radio, Television, Telecommunications Commission. At the moment, they're trying to broaden the prohibition on broadcasting false information to the extent that essentially it's going to be, you know, broadcasters are going to legally be able to broadcast false information, which is just an incredibly dangerous precedent. So, you know, CRTC, I don't know what they're playing at these days, but they're not doing much right.
So at the same time, the CRTC, to be fair, is has also allowed the telecommunications corporations to add enormous costs to the price of the internet. So they've opened up this sort of you know, a running meter on internet charges, without consumers having any say in this at all. This is yet another decision by the CRTC to allow corporations to have a free run of things in Canada, but at the same time has used statutes to shut down CKLN. And just along the same vein, when it comes to Greenpeace and what it's doing across the country as a civic organization campaigning for the environment, Are there examples where the law has also been used excessively against campaigners or in other organizations that you know of?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, off the top of my head, bringing it back to Greenpeace, whenever we have, you know, Greenpeace is known for its peaceful protests, you know, and it's something that we quite strongly defend that is I think, a right for anyone to participate in a peaceful protest. But what we often see now when our activists participate in a peaceful protest is that they'll participate and then they'll experience pretty severe ill treatment in some cases at the hands of the authorities, be released pending trial, but their release will be subject to a number of bail conditions, right? Which means that for a lot of these guys and girls, men and women, they can't see each other for, you know, up to a year after they participate in a peaceful protest. A lot of these people might be married, long-term relationships, work colleagues, this kind of thing. So there's been a lot of talk about the crackdown on community organizing, and these are the kind of insidious measures that are being taken to crack down on community organizing, campaigning organizations. And, you know, it's another great example of the shrinking democratic space in Canada.
So at this point, where a cross-section of civic society is feeling this crackdown with the use of the law against not only dissenting voices, but just a diversity of voices, at this point, what can be done? Because I think what civic organizations, what is happening is that they're taking the legal route, going to court, dealing with the challenges, paying the costs, which no one can afford. And is anything changing? Is this sort of legal confrontation actually going to change any of this phenomenon that you call the shrinking democratic space?
You know, when people fight charges in court, unfortunately, you know, all they're trying to do, and quite rightly what they're trying to do, is they're trying to get the best deal that they can in what is a very unfair situation. You know, I mean, take this guy Alex Hundert, who recently cut a deal, you know, for which I certainly wouldn't blame him. You know, I mean, this guy has been locked up, without trial for, you know, 150 days, you know, threatened with solitary confinement, you know. But sorry, Robin, what could you? So yeah, sorry. Basically, in Alex Hundert's case, what he's doing, I mean, is he's you know, a very committed person who's trying to challenge this crackdown on campaigning activists, individuals, and organizations. But at the same time, when he's fighting his court case, you know, that's not an effective means by which to challenge the broader societal institutional forces that are cracking down on democratic space. You can only really try to get the best result in your own prosecution, right? So Greenpeace has had this experience as well. There's a tension between wanting, on the one hand, to make it clear that you're experiencing and you're the victim of essentially an institutional crackdown on dissent in the country, while at the same time trying to get the best results in a court for yourself and your activists. So this is a problem that I think a lot of people are facing at the moment.
So at this point, we're all in the same judicial situation, where we're all going along with the law, trying to follow the statutes and meet the challenges. We're paying, like I said before, for as communities and smaller organizations, but even Greenpeace, being a large organization, is still probably drained of a lot of its resources.
You know, I mean, even Greenpeace, you know, that a lot of people on the far right talk about Greenpeace being, you know, a multi-billion dollar corporation. Greenpeace is not a wealthy organization, but it's the opposite of a wealthy organization. But by comparison to some local community groups, we do have at least, you know, an emergency pool of funds by which to defend ourselves in a legal course, in a legal case. So you know, basically, if you look at the legal system, is the point I'm trying to make, that it's inherently biased towards people who have the legal, i.e., financial resources to defend themselves in court, to undertake private prosecutions in court, you know, I mean, I don't want to go too far down that path, but basically, you know, you start getting into the legal system, the dice are loaded, and they're not loaded in your favor, you know. I mean, probably a discussion for a separate day, but the criticisms of the legal system and its biases, particularly against, you know, marginalized and dissenting voices, are very well known and documented.
Okay, we were talking about the shrinking, something called the shrinking democratic space in Canada. Talking with Shane Moffat here at Greenpeace Canada, who is pretty knowledgeable about this stuff, being the legal advisor here at Greenpeace, and also he has been working with other organizations together with them to address this problem of a shrinking democratic space in Canada. And just to end up this interview, Shane, now that you've been working with other organizations around this, do you see some kind of potential for growth in terms of getting together with other organizations in Toronto and across Canada to deal with this situation?
I mean, you know, group dissenting voices working together, it's certainly what you'd always aspire or hope to see, you know. Personally, I think that a year on from the G20 might be a good time to really manifest that kind of a solidarity within community campaigning and activist circles, and to use that as a very broad tent, you know. I mean, there are a number of vital interests out there: trade unions, LGBTQ, disability, you name it. I mean, there's really broad swaths of the Canadian population there that have a vital interest in what's going on at the moment. And yeah, I would definitely like to see some sort of a collective response to what are our threatened democratic spaces.
Shane, thank you very much for joining us in the program.
Thanks, bud.